I work security, nights at a warehouse outside of Detroit. Mostly dead hours. I check locks, walk the perimeter, drink bad coffee, and wait for the clock to crawl past dawn. Nobody bothers me out there. Just me, the silence, and my phone. I used to scroll through memes and junk videos until everything started to look the same. One night, a guy I shared a shift with told me about a stream he found on the deep web. Said it wasn't gore or fake stuff. Said it was real. I didn't believe him at first. He wouldn't even look at me when he talked about it. Just stared ahead and said, "You'll know when you see it." Out of boredom or stupidity, I downloaded a Tor browser and started poking around. Dead links, trash forums, and Red Room hoaxes. All garbage. I was about to close everything when I found a stream. No name, no description, just a code. BRL-197. The video showed a metal door in a concrete wall. Cracked, rusted, something leaking from underneath. The stream didn't buffer. It didn't glitch. It was too clean. And yet nothing happened. Just that door. I left the tab open, stared for 10 minutes, maybe more. I didn't see anything, but I felt like I had been seen. 2 nights later, I went back. Same stream, same camera. Only now, the door had a handprint on it. Red, wet. It hadn't been there before. I watched longer this time, focused. Nothing moved, but I couldn't shake the feeling that someone was standing just outside the frame. Then the camera angle changed, just a little, lower, tilted up, like someone had picked it up and moved it by hand. Still no sound, no movements, but now the space behind the door looked darker, like the hallway had been swallowed by something. I stayed with the stream until the morning sun lit up the warehouse parking lot. No jump scares, no edits, no chat. Just the feed. I told myself I was just watching a loop. That it was all part of a hoax. But the next night, the door was open. Inside, I saw a narrow hallway. The walls were stained and cracked. Every few feet, there was a hook screwed into the concrete, and on one of them hung a woman's blouse, torn straight down the back. Blood smeared across the collar. There were no screams, no ambient music. Just a faint dragging sound, as if someone was pulling something heavy, slow across cement. I turned the volume all the way up. That's all I heard. The feed changed every night, never drastically. The camera just pushing further down the hallway, inch by inch. On night 5, I saw a bucket filled with clothes. Scarves, sandals, hair ties. All women's, all stained. The same dragging sound kept looping, never getting closer, never fading. Then came the night when the hooks weren't empty anymore. The first time I saw one occupied. I stared so long I forgot to breathe. A body, limp, barefoot, tied at the ankles, swinging slightly like someone had just stepped back after hanging it. The skin was bloated, the face swollen beyond recognition. That was when the timestamp appeared. Bottom right. 4:12 a.m. /barely. I Googled it. A city in India. Seemed random until I found the name attached to it. Kuldeep Gangrewar, the butcher of Bareilly. 9 murders, women only. Strangled with their own clothes. Arrested last year. I clicked deeper. News reports, old forum threads, message boards that had been inactive for months. Everything about Gangrewar pointed to a cold case solved. But that couldn't be right. The stream was live. The timestamp matched India's time zone. The clothes, the bodies, the environment. It was real. One of the deeper articles mentioned the butcher collected trophies. Lipstick, bindis, scraps of fabric. Police found them in his house, neatly sorted in boxes. The stream started showing them too. A shelf appeared on the left side of the hallway. Lipstick tubes lined up like bullets. I still remember the fourth one from the left. A deep red color, the cap chewed like someone bit into it. A week later, I saw the same lipstick stain on the lips of the next body that showed up on camera. She was still alive at first. Her hands twitched. Then they stopped. The dragging sound didn't loop anymore. It got louder, real, pacing. 3 nights later, I saw her face. A woman bound to a metal chair in what looked like a storage room. No windows, cement walls. Her wrists were tied with some kind of cloth. Her mouth gagged with a knotted scarf. The lighting was dim, but she was definitely alive. Her eyes were wide. She kept looking at something behind the camera. The sound of boots echoed, heavy, measured. The kind of steps someone takes when they're not in a rush. The woman started shaking. Her breathing grew faster. You could hear her trying not to cry through the gag. Then a hand entered the frame. It touched her shoulder. Slow. Possessive. The hand was scarred. The skin cracked. Fingernails black with grime. Whoever it belonged to didn't speak. Just circled her once out of view. The woman squirmed harder. He returned, holding something in his other hand. A piece of fabric twisted in a noose. He held it up, like showing it to the camera. The screen cut to static. The stream came back the next night. Same room, but now it was empty. The chair was still there. The restraints cut. The floor had fresh streaks. Red, thick. There was a plastic bag propped up on the table. Inside was something that looked like a scalp. Long black hair, still tied back in a braid. The chair wasn't empty for long. The camera cut, then came back. And a new woman was tied down. This one screaming behind the gag. Screaming so hard, it sounded like her lungs were giving out. There was no one else in the frame. Just her, and then, the footsteps again. It hit me then. The camera wasn't stationary. It wasn't CCTV. It was handheld. Someone was holding it, watching. 3 days later, I got an email. I hadn't signed up for anything. It just appeared in my inbox. Subject, we saw you watching. No message, just a file. A still from the stream. Only now, the camera was facing a wall with my name on it. My full name, written in blood red paint, dripping fresh. I threw up. I tried wiping the email from my drive, deleted everything, burned the USB. But the file kept coming back. I'd deleted it, emptied the trash, and there it was again the next day. The file size kept changing. Then I got a second email. It had a short video clip. The butcher, visible now, no mask, held up a photo. It was my ID, my Michigan driver's license. He looked straight into the camera. No expression, no blink, just stared for 10 seconds. Then the screen went black. I stopped going to work, stopped answering calls. I bought a burner phone, packed a bag, and drove west without telling anyone. Every time I stopped at a gas station or a diner, I expected to see that face. I changed phones weekly, paid in cash, slept in my car. But it wasn't over. At a motel in New Mexico, I turned on the room TV and the HDMI lit up by itself. I switched to the stream. Same room, same angle. The camera was walking now, toward a door. Room number 206. That was my room. I didn't wait. I ran barefoot across the parking lot, past a truck stop, into the desert. Left everything behind. My wallet, my phone, my ID, all of it. I stayed off the grid after that night. Changed names. Never stayed anywhere more than a week. No screens, no phones. I used libraries to check maps. Wrote down directions by hand. Every screen felt like a trap. Months passed. I almost believed it was over. But the fear doesn't fade. It just hides behind your routines. Then last week in a public library in Arizona, I walked past a kid watching YouTube. His screen glitched for a second. I glanced. Just a frame. Half a second. It was the chair. Same room, same lighting. The shelf in the back had a new item. A Michigan license plate. Scratched. Mine. I don't use real names anymore. I sleep in storage units, eat from vending machines, keep to myself. You can't explain this to anyone without sounding insane. The butcher was caught, they say. He's locked away. But someone kept the stream going. Someone took over. Or maybe he was never really caught. You don't find the stream. It finds you. You click, you watch, you think you're safe, sitting behind your keyboard half a world away. Then the screen shifts. The camera moves. The door opens. And it's your name on the wall. This story is based on real events connected to Kuldeep Kumar Gangarwar, known as the Butcher of Bareilly, a serial killer from Uttar Pradesh, India. Between 2023 and 2024, Gangarwar targeted women between the ages of 45 and 65, luring them into isolated sugarcane fields before strangling them with their own clothes. He left no sexual evidence, but investigators noted consistent injuries on the victims' thighs and chins, hinting at a disturbing intent. Gangarwar often took trophies from the women, lipstick, bindis, torn scarves, storing them like mementos. His arrest in mid-2024 brought an end to a 14-month killing spree that haunted Bareilly's rural districts. Although he was captured, several elements of the case remain unclear. The methodical approach, lack of forensic trails, and Gangarwar's chilling confession led some to believe he was operating under the radar long before his first confirmed kill. Reports from villagers and unofficial forums hinted at deeper networks or accomplices, which authorities never confirmed. This fictional story reimagines what could happen if a monster like him adapted to the digital age, using the shadows of the deep web to continue his rituals, hidden in plain sight.
The job was simple. Sit in a room with 8 monitors and watch the building while everyone else was gone. The place was a call center. Cubicles, coffee machines, vending machines, and a break room that always smelled like burnt popcorn. I'd worked customer service for years before they offered me this. Night watch. Less talking, more sitting. I said yes before they finished the pitch. The building shut down at 10 p.m. Once the cleaning crew left, I was the only one inside. My room was small, 4 walls, 1 desk, and a panel with screens showing every corner of the building. There was no need to patrol, the cameras covered everything. I had coffee, snacks, and silence. No distractions, no coworkers, just me in a building that was supposed to stay dead quiet. I usually passed the time half watching, half scrolling on my phone. Most nights were uneventful. Maybe a loose cable or a janitor forgetting something. But the night this happened, I didn't touch my phone once. Something was different. I didn't realize it right away, but by the time I did, it was too late. At first, it was the chair. Camera 9 was pointed at the main floor where the agents worked. Rows of desks, identical chairs, identical monitors. One of the chairs moved. Not rolled, not nudged. It spun halfway around like someone had just sat in it and turned to talk to someone. But there was no one there. I rewound the footage. The chair had been still, then it moved. No one walked by, no cleaning crew, just a sudden turn. I stared at it for a while. It didn't move again. I told myself it was a faulty wheel or maybe a draft, but the vents weren't on. HVAC was idle. Still, I logged it and moved on. A few minutes later, another camera, camera 6, flicked to life. The break room door opened by itself. Not slowly, not like a soft push, it opened fully, paused, then slammed shut so hard that the frame shook. I flinched at the sound even through the feed. I rewound again. Nothing. Just the door reacting like someone had thrown it open, but there was no one on either side. That's when I started scanning all cameras, one by one, looking for movement. Looking for any sign that someone else was inside. I found nothing. All doors locked, all halls empty, but those two things, chair, door, didn't sit right with me, and I couldn't stop thinking about them. So I did the one thing I wasn't supposed to. I left the room. I stepped into the hallway and instantly regretted it. The air wasn't cold, but it felt used, stale, like someone had been breathing too hard in a closed space. The lights buzzed like they always did, but every sound was louder now. My footsteps felt too heavy, the silence felt too thin. I walked toward the main floor, flashlight in hand, even though the lights were still on. I told myself I was just confirming things, just checking. The main office looked untouched. Desks still cluttered, screens dark, chairs still except for the one I saw earlier. That chair was still turned, facing slightly away from the desk. I walked past it slowly, waiting for something, anything to happen. But it didn't move again. I reached the middle of the room and just stood there, turning in place, listening. Then came the click. From deeper inside the building, it was sharp and metallic, like a stove knob being twisted. I turned toward the break room. Another click. Then a hissing sound. Steady, low, unmistakable. Gas. I rushed toward it, heart hammering. The second I stepped in, I saw the flame. A blue burner lit without anyone touching it. The knob showed off. I turned it anyway. Nothing. I turned it again. Still nothing. I pulled the cord from the wall. The fire stayed. I backed up, considering what to do. If I threw water on it, I might snuff the flame and let gas escape freely. Worst case, I'd blow up the building. I got down on my knees, felt around behind the oven, and turned the gas line valve until it locked into the off position. I stood up quickly, wiped my hands, and looked back at the stove. The flame was gone. Relief hit me hard. I was about to leave when something yanked my head back. There was no time to react. My skull hit the oven with a crack. I hit the ground, stars in my vision. I pushed myself up, hands trembling, ears ringing, and looked around. Nothing. No footsteps, no breathing. The room was empty, but I hadn't fallen on my own. Something had slammed me. I knew it. And it was still here. I stumbled into the hallway, gripping the wall for balance. I needed to leave. I didn't care about protocol or cameras anymore. My head throbbed. I felt something warm slide down my neck. Blood. I moved fast, past the copier, past the vending machines, but then I heard it. A hum. Quiet at first, like old electronics booting up. I turned my head. Every screen on the main floor was on. Rows of monitors, all glowing, all active. They shouldn't have been. The system was programmed to stay off unless someone logged in manually. I watched in disbelief as windows opened across the monitors, full of lines I couldn't read, symbols, codes, columns of numbers flipping nonstop. No sound, no keys clicking, but then the air shifted. Something pulled at my ankles. My feet lifted off the ground as I was dragged backward across the floor. I screamed and clawed at the carpet, kicking at nothing. My back scraped against desk legs, chair wheels. I finally slammed into a cubicle divider and stopped moving. I didn't get up. I just crawled backward until I hit the wall. I stayed there, breathing hard, the blood on my neck now soaked into my collar. Then the lights died. Everything went black, except for the glow of the monitors. That's when I saw them. Figures, dozens of them, sitting in the chairs at the desks. Not people, not even solid, just shapes. Dark, twitching, barely visible in the flickering monitor light. They all typed silently. No sounds, no rhythm, like they were punching in codes they'd known forever. Then they stopped. All at once, heads turned. Every one of them stared at me. I couldn't look away. My body was frozen, not paralyzed by fear, just useless, like nothing I did would matter. Then one figure stood. It didn't move like a person, its limbs bent wrong, its body jerked forward with unnatural speed. Then another stood, then another. They stayed still, staring. Then, one sprinted at me. I tried to run, I really did, but it hit me first. It didn't feel like hitting a wall or a body. It was cold and full of weight, but not flesh. It pinned me down. Then it leaned in close, and I saw its mouth open wider than any mouth should. Something inside it moved. I opened my mouth to scream, and it forced itself inside. A rush of something filled my throat. Cold, thick, endless. It pushed deeper. I clawed at my neck. My scream broke into choking. My body thrashed. My vision blurred. I gagged until blackness swallowed everything. No lights, no figures, no monitors. Just a pitch black void. I woke up on the floor with lights in my face and voices around me. Marcus, my supervisor, and two coworkers were standing there, confused and concerned. They said they found me convulsing, face down in the middle of the office. I couldn't talk. I just got up and walked out, left everything behind, my bag, my badge. I didn't answer any questions. But before I left the building for good, I copied the entire night's footage onto a USB stick from the security system. The cameras went dark a few minutes after I blacked out. Nothing brought them back. The tech team said the whole system fried, like it shorted from the inside. I watched the footage at home. I didn't watch all of it, just the feed from camera 9. At exactly 2:25 a.m., something runs across the room so fast it leaves a blur. At 2:26, the lights flicker. At 2:27, the screen cuts to static. Then black. I quit the job. Never went back. I tried to forget it. But I haven't been the same since. My body's weaker. I'm always cold. Always tired. Doctors find nothing. But I know. Something stayed with me that night. Not a ghost. Not a curse. Something else. It doesn't talk to me. Doesn't control me. It just feeds. I still have the USB. I keep it in a drawer, taped shut inside 3 plastic bags. I've thought about smashing it, burying it, burning it, but I don't. And I don't know why. I don't sleep much anymore. Every time I close my eyes, I hear the clicking again. The typing. The moment they all looked at me. It wasn't random. They knew I was there.